Loving God, thank you that your word is living. It means that we can come to it fresh every time we read it. There's something new that you are teaching us and showing us. I pray this morning that you will inspire us afresh. Teach us something new of you. Amen. Let me just find that Isaiah reading again. Trinity Sunday. Did you notice that on the slide? It's Trinity Sunday. Christian, did you say it was a welcome to us on Trinity Sunday? I was totally just missed the beginning. Okay. Today is one of my favourite days of the church calendar. It's Trinity Sunday. It's a Sunday that lots of people don't like. And apparently lots of preachers try and pass off a Trinity Sunday sermon to their curates or to ordinands, just so that they don't have to preach on Trinity Sunday. Well, I'm afraid I do the opposite. I always try and grab it because I love talking about God as Trinity. I think it is so important for our understanding to have this moment to talk about God in God's fullness. Because Trinity Sunday is not just a dry theological debate, trying to work out the practicalities of how God can be three in one. It is not an attempt to understand something incomprehensible. That's what our Isaiah reading was all about. God is beyond our understanding, majestic and glorious. And we cannot comprehend with our tiny brains, no matter how big your brain actually is and how intelligent you are, we just can't comprehend the awesomeness of who God is. And so actually, Trinity Sunday is a wonderful Sunday for us to just accept that and to worship God in God's fullness in this incomprehensible way. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, I actually can't listen to Ruth talk on and on about this. I much prefer exploring things in a practical way. So if you would like to do that whilst I'm talking, I have here some little exercises. If you would like to try and make a rainbow out of the light, the beautiful sunlight, so good, glad that's a sunny day. I have some objects here that might help you make light or see what's in light. Or if you're feeling really brave, this morning I made a mocktail. That is a non-alcoholic cocktail, for those of you who've never come across that phrase. And I'm inviting you to taste it and see if you can work out the ingredients within it. Okay? So if anyone is feeling that they would like to come and do that, feel free to come and play whilst I am talking, because it does all link in. It's not just a distraction. I will refer to it. If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. I'm not going to be talking for long anyway. So, Trinity Sunday, all about God's fullness. The doctrine of the Trinity, which is doctrine, that's sorry, I'm using fancy words. It just means the language that we use to talk about God in this way. It simply means our way of expressing the reality when we encounter God in our lives. The Trinity was a fresh understanding that God's people discovered after Jesus' death and resurrection, because it enabled them as followers of the one true God to make sense of all that they had experienced in following Jesus, the man, witnessing to his miracles, hearing his teaching, walking his way, and living through his death and resurrection. And then, of course, what we celebrated last Sunday, the experience of receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So they held this deep understanding that Jesus was not just a man, and that Jesus was not telling them to worship a new God, to worship him, but it's the same God, the God of Israel throughout their history, who rescued them from slavery in Egypt, who brought them to a land where they could flourish, who made a covenant with them to be their God, to love them, to protect them, and be in relationship with them. This is the same God who Jesus' earliest followers worshipped, who their forefathers had worshipped. The Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the Shema that our Jewish brothers and sisters still hold to, and we hold to. The Lord is one. And yet, they had had this experience of this man Jesus, and they had had the experience of Pentecost. Jesus came and was someone who could forgive sins. Well, only God could do that. Was someone who could show in signs and wonders that he was no mere prophet. And of course, as we explored last week, who breathed on them God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. These disciples and followers had in a very real way experienced God in all of these ways. And so they came to this fresh understanding of God who is not distant and isolated, but intimate and relational, and who was to be encountered in more ways than had been previously experienced. The doctrine of the Trinity, our understanding of God as three in one, is not irrelevant academic theology. It is the very expression of how we can know God in our head, in our heart, in our lives. We encounter God as an all-powerful, creative, life-giving, righteous presence, the Father. But actually, if we just encounter God as a Father, we could easily slip into feeling God is distant and authoritarian if we didn't also encounter God as compassionate, relatable, a rescuing presence, the Son. But because we've just celebrated Ascension Day, we know that the Son is with the Father, we could end up feeling adrift, separated, even abandoned, if we didn't also encounter God as an empowering, equipping, and inspiring, comforting presence, the Spirit. We experience and encounter God in all of these different ways in our real lives. They are the way that we express and can make sense of who God is. The words that Jesus said in our reading from Matthew spell out for us that we are to make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the full understanding of who God is. That is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All these facets of God. And that's what we're about to do with Amelie today. We are about to baptize her in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. In the name of the Holy God, the Lord. All of the facets of God. But the thing is, when we talk about the Trinity, we often talk in threes. And we give examples in threes. Because that was the way that our the amazing wisdom of our forefathers who wrote the Bible and came up with the doctrine of the Trinity, the way that they understood it, the way that they expressed it to give us language. But I think in our Western world, it actually, do not report me to the bishop and strike me off as a heretic, but I think it's deeply unhelpful. Because we are such a culture of putting things in boxes and dividing things up, that as soon as we are given three boxes, we cannot comprehend them as one. So as soon as we divide God into three, we've already lost something of the magnificence and glory of who God is. We immediately confine and define God. Today, I want to invite you away from that box-like thinking. I want to inspire you into a way of thinking that is much more woolly, that is much more mystical, that may feel uncomfortable because we cannot define clearly, but I want to encourage you to sit with that discomfort and enjoy it for a little while. I want us to explore a more abstract, less defined understanding of God in God's entirety. It might help to have a metaphor of understanding a slightly more mystical way of understanding God, maybe like a chord of music running through your life. Multitonal, but beautiful together. Or maybe a spectrum of light guiding you. As these guys, I hope, are working out, or anybody who has ever seen a rainbow is working out, light is multi-hued but illuminating. If you only saw red light, you would miss half the things in the world. We need all of the light to see all of the world. Or maybe you like thinking with your stomach a little bit more, and God is much more like a complex taste with different notes and subtle hints, which may be what you are discovering with the mocktail. But all together, they make up a new and beautiful taste, I hope. I wonder if you, did you manage to find, make a rainbow? Or was there not quite enough light here? Okay. Anyone list for me the colours of the rainbow? Just shout them out. Nathaniel, I love that. You recited that to me backwards. The rest of us were going red, orange, and you started, I love it. It's like they're saying the alphabet backwards. I can't do it. Oh, music is such a way for helping us understand. And did you manage to taste any flavours in the mocktail? Any flavours that you could pick out? There was a spice. There was ginger. There was a little heat. Just a little bit. Mostly orange. There were all sorts of things. You can taste it later. It was all healthy. There's nothing poisonous in it. They're very trusting. I love it. I did taste it first, so, you know, I'm still standing. But our senses actually are amazing at sorting out really complex tastes and sights and sounds. We can hear them all, but actually it's the mixture of them together which makes life glorious and beautiful. We can distinguish between them, but actually together is what makes the joy and the richness of life. So it is with God. We could separate out and define all the facets of how we experience God. And indeed, the church over the centuries has done just that. But I do think we lose something of the richness of God in doing so. Trinity Sunday is all about bringing us back to appreciate the complexity of the one God. So that when we hear the chord, God, or see the colour, God, or taste the dish, God, we can let our senses just unravel and enjoy the experience of the presence of the Lord our God, who can renew our hope, renew our strength, and enable us to soar on wings like eagles, so that we do not run or grow weary. We can walk and not be faint. Amen.